Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 291 of Cantina at Mex. I'm your host, Jaime Landeros, bringing up everyone to speed on last week's chismes, drama, what have you. Tonight's burning topics. Mexico's squad is getting banged up. A few players have been injured in the camp. Nacho Ambriz fulfills his dream of coaching in Europe. We have plenty of talk about Chicharito and his brace over the weekend in the Cali Clásico. And Chivas are experimenting with Chicote. This and much, much more. But before I go any further, let me bring in my co-host, the two-man Wolfpack for tonight. Joel, how are we doing?
Hey, Jaime, I'm doing pretty good. Despite all the bad news, I'm fine.
Welcome to the show. Oh boy, I don't even know where to start. I guess we can start with Mexico. Some upsetting news. We've had some injuries over the weekend. Guardado is officially ruled out for a month with a muscle injury. And I don't know if you saw Alan Pulido's injury over the weekend with Kansas City, but he has like a new... It's like somebody hole punched his foot. So he is possibly going to be missing out on the Gold Cup, which leaves us with one sole striker, Funes Mori. He is the only striker left in this camp because Henry Martin will be going to the Olympics. JJ Mack also, quote, injured. But it seems like the rumor is he's wrapping up his deal with Getafe. Joel, how do you feel about this?
I'm gonna start with JJ Mack, and I do feel not so much wrapping his deal. If it's a done deal, then it will be he doesn't want to miss preseason.
Yeah,
and if especially you're going on loan, and so if you're not. It's a big thing, you know, for so I could see why he would prioritize that. So I don't blame him. It's a tough choice to make. Olympics or Getafe. Then again, he probably came to the same conclusion as me, Jaime.
What's that?
Olympics, he said three and out at the Olympics. And he's like, yeah, I'll just go straight to Spain. Might as well. So that's where I think JJ Mack is, and if you know how certain is it? Do you know if the transaction is it just
yeah
it hasn't been
kind of to put everyone to speed because I had forgotten that had happened in between our episodes, but yeah the big rumor is that Getafe has asked about JJ Mack. Chivas are potentially going to loan him out for a year with the option to buy. And Chivas would hold on to a percentage of that future transfer. The only thing about this transfer that kind of gets me a little bit skeptical is Chivas have had experience with Getafe in the past, and they've sort of screwed us over, going all the way back to when Osvaldo was finalizing his deal with them. And then in the end, Getafe pulled out and ended up getting Pato Abbondanzieri. And then Alanis joined Getafe, but they did him dirty. They actually registered them with their second division club, Real Oviedo, and the excuse then was that they didn't have any non-European passport spots, so they had to register him with the second division. He ended up having to play for Real Oviedo, and then it was just a big shit show. That was a free transfer. He was a free agent. He ended up coming back. And
it's an untrustworthy.
Yeah, so
like the cheating boyfriend.
So I guess with Macias, it's rumoring that might be the same case where they're gonna have to register him under the Real Oviedo, and this guy might end up playing second division ball for all we know. So I'm just a little bit hesitant. I'm not excited about this transfer because it's a loan. You know what I mean? It's like it's
it is. Yeah. Well, I mean he's there's basically interest in him died out, between the COVID And the last season is, it's just like his stocks seem to have plummeted.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's probably going to be his best bet now. And I would say better than Olympics, you know. So I do think even if he's in second division, I think it would be a good proving grounds for him again. And that's one of the realities of Liga MX. You know, that you could be killing it, but it's still, you won't convince a lot of times the teams from abroad. You know, a lot of them won't be completely sold, which is, and it's something we were talking about, Jaime, about, you know, how it hurts the league missing out on like Copa Libertadores.
Absolutely.
You know, because you would have players like Chicharo that was killing it in Liga MX, but then he was killing it in Libertadores, and that was what
we were on a run to the final when he got approached by Man United. So yeah, definitely a lot of eyeballs and more prestigious.
Yeah, and it was like that with other Mex players that ended up going to Europe, that they would play really well, you know, in Libertadores. So I think that's going to continue to be the case for some, you know, where they just devalue the talent. And for those that want to, because I'm against it, you know, I talked about going to clubs and selling yourself short, or going where there's like a little guarantees. And so I've been against that. But at the same time, if that's what you're pursuing as a player and you want to take that risk, then, you know, by all means, then, you know, go for it. But I think if he is in second division, he'll be he might know someone that's going to be coaching in second division of Spain, huh?
That's right. What is it about like this dream of going to Europe that makes you so desperate that you're going to, you know, go out the first offer, man? Like JJ Mack does not need to play for Getafe. He does not need to go and play for this like mid-table bottom feeder club on a loan, not even like a, you know, that's just, I don't get it, man. You're better off staying in Mexico. You're better off going to the Olympics. But, you know, I guess his shooting boots are missing, kind of like Mbappe tonight in the Euros. He's just missing. He hasn't scored. And all the rumors start to dry up. All the potential transfers start to dry up. And you're not even scoring for the Olympic team. And it's gotten to the point where they're going to have to bring in Henry Martin, you know, and it's like, you know, you lost your starting spot on the Olympic team. You have this offer coming in from Getafe and you're just like, you know what? Screw the Olympics, screw Mexico. I'm just going to go like, I'm just going to go to Europe no matter what. And same thing with Nacho Ambriz, man. Like he's a respected coach. He's got silverware. He was Aguirre's assistant coach at Osasuna and Atletico Madrid. I mean, this guy should not be getting freaking offers from the second division of La Liga in Spain. He's good enough to be coaching a team in the first division, but because he's from Mexico and we don't really have we're not a proven commodity out there. If he would have been from Argentina or Brazil, he would have had an offer in the first division, but because he's Mexican and he's dark, he's Indian, they're just like, you know what? Second division, man. Here you go.
Snap.
I'm exaggerating, but you know, they called Hugo Sanchez an Indio in Spain. So, I mean, I know they're a little bit racist against Morenos.
Well, that's when he started, man. When he goes now, he's idolized. He's praised to a level that doesn't even happen in Mex. I think it's a few things. One, it's lack of presence. There's not that many Mexican coaches in general to begin with.
Yeah.
So that means much less coaching at the international level, which is a big reason why I've been advocating for a long time. Like, dude, if you have to go to other teams in CONCACAF, even go, if you have to be an MLS go, because the more presence, you know, the more doors are open, the more opportunities, the more that the Mexican coach is known. And this is something we talked about, man, it must have been a couple years back in the pod, about how you had Colombian coaches taking teams from CONCACAF to the World Cup. you know, Pinto with Costa Rica, and then you had God damn, I forget this dude's name, the Pudmark face, man. He took Panama. God dang, I can't remember. He's got like that acne problem.
But, oh, the, you know, yeah, I know what you're talking about. The guy's name.
Can't believe I'm forgetting his name, dude. But and then you had Osorio taking Mexico, man. That's you know, and that could be the Mexican coaches. Why, you know, taking coaching in Honduras or Guatemala or what have you, it doesn't matter. Closest we got was De Los Cobos, who had you know, he coached El Salvador and
yeah,
he had that one pretty decent hexagonal run, but you know, hearing some of the stories of what was going on, and we had, you know, we had a Salvador fan that's very close to the team over there, and he came on the pod and he was telling us like some of the problems, like how over there they wouldn't even provide the Gatorade, you know,
during
the training session.
Like that? Like,
dude, you can't even buy that big igloo and then just put the powder
put
and
the
stuff.
Powder in, bro.
Wow. I mean, damn. But yeah, and so how a lot of them, they wouldn't pay them, and so it was a lot of problems like that, to the point where FIFA stepped in and almost stripped them, because there was obvious it was obvious that people were you know, taking the money, like, you know.
Wow.
Because they do get money from like the Confederation and even FIFA, you know, they'll give money just to help with different things, and then obvious money from like TV rights and whatever, and yeah, they were just pocketing it, and so a lot of the players were like I guess they didn't even care to be called up. But just to go back on topic,
yeah.
You know, you would want to see more coaches. And because imagine you get to go to a World Cup. Like, say you're Piojo, maybe Costa Rica approaches you, which it could be very possible because they approached La Volpe, who was there.
That's right.
He was there briefly. He was there in Mexico. I think it was Aguirre that put that 5-0 ass whooping. It was just, damn. But I mean, imagine going to a World Cup, I guess, and that's pretty big. You got to go to a World Cup, and then from there, you could jump to another league.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I don't know, man. They're not putting themselves out there, and that's. I know Nacho knew what it was gonna be like. I knew he knew he wasn't. That first division door wasn't gonna be open for him, and I. So I was saying that the lack of presence, and I'm going to say also, like, the agents, you know, like I don't think the Mexican coach has, you know, the representation from to have a coach that's going to, they could place you in EPL or even the championship.
He needs to fire his agent, man. So does Macias.
Well, I mean, he got him, dude. He got him there.
I wonder if they even have an agent, bro, like. Who is his agent, man? I'm on transfer market right now. I'm trying to figure out, man, because all I'm saying is he's got an impressive record. And it's just like, why? Yeah. Like.
Well, we going back to what we were saying about Macias and Libertadores, because abroad the Mexican championship as is not valued as highly. And I'm gonna say the big reason is because it's the short tournament, the short season, and all that. I think that plays into it, where it just kind of, you know, loses some prestige or value for people looking from abroad.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the reasons as well. But I think and so I think he but you know that the team he's with, the team he signed for, they're said to have one of the better you know, money for building a squad. They're said to be one of the candidates for promotion.
Yeah, I mean, well, they got relegated last season, so they are looking to get back into the first division.
Yeah,
and that's a tough job, man. Like, that is very, very tough. You know, having seen Ronaldo, the Brazilian. he owns Valladolid. You know, they got relegated last season, and you know, going back to the first division is probably the hardest thing to do because it's such a dogfight. There's not as much money going around, but you know, I wish him the best of luck.
You know, how you're saying there's not much, so that Nacho's team having one budget, that's the word, man. It was skipping my brain. Having one of the best budgets, I think that's a plus, you know. I think that, and they could ensure some of the better players. So I think, I hope he could get them, you know, he gets them promoted and he's up there. And I was a bit surprised to see how much criticism he got. I've seen a couple of tweets, people just throwing jabs at him, and I was like, damn. for all this like talk about Mexican coaches suck because they stay in their comfort zone and all these things, and this guy's going against the grain and they're still knocking him down. I was like, there's just no winning, man.
Isn't it weird that like he did not renew with León because the money wasn't right, and then he ends up taking a huge salary cut to coach in Europe? So it's like,
I don't believe that. No, because I know he gave an interview talking about his desire to go to Europe, and he mentioned that. He mentioned the whole fact that like, he didn't care if it was second division, and at that point he already knows. He already knew he wasn't going to get paid as much, even if he went to first. You know, I think as Mexico fans, sometimes we forget how much they could get paid, because there's been a lot of players that have gone to La Liga and they take pay cuts. Cuauhtémoc Blanco, when he went to Valladolid, he took a pay cut. You know, Palencia and Espanyol.
Yep.
A lot of these guys, they took pay cuts.
Omar Rabo. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, because we use, like, and by we, I mean, like, fans on average, we see, like, the big clubs and the big-name players, and that's what we use as an example. And it's like, no, that's just, like, the 1%. That's just, like, the top two clubs, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe the top four, you could say, but after.
Are you talking about, like, in Spain?
In any Europe, pretty much in any league, you know, outside of like the top four, it's
in Spain, it's a nightmare. Yeah, like I think they fixed the structure a little bit, but I remember at one point, like Barcelona and Madrid made so much more money from the TV contracts than like the rest of the league. Like everybody else was just getting like straight up like breadcrumbs, but yeah,
they're fighting for the crumbs in the floor.
I know in the EPL it's way more balanced, and also in Germany they make like all the teams get like a really good chunk, but I know in Spain it was like really bad. So
yeah, well, and that's good you mentioned EPL, because that's, I think that's something that my Liga MX might try to do. You know, we might see it happening because it used to be Televisa at this point only has one club, which is America. Mm-hmm. And then Tebasteca, the other big, they pretty much couldn't hold on to the clubs. They released Morelia, and then they kind of still own Atlas, but sort of like Grupo Orlegi manages them. So it's that weird stuff, you know, but it's pretty much obvious that they can't handle it themselves. And so you're seeing all these other clubs rise up, and I do think it might become a thing where because Tebasteca and Televisa obviously had the monopoly on the whole league, on the TV and the contracts, and they were pretty much divided, you know. They each had like 10 clubs that they had the TV contracts, but that hasn't been it. So I think we might see something like that, where the league might sell itself as a package, you know?
I got a question for you. So, you know, you mentioned we don't have as much exposure as we used to because we're not invited to Libertadores anymore. And
no, it's not that we're not invited. They don't want to go with us. Mexico team's always going to be invited. Doors wide open, man. Mexico's like the goose laying golden eggs. Conmebol wants Mex, man. They're your friend with
the cash cow
that pays the tab at the man. It's It's just
pays a tab.
yeah, dude. Because even when Mex teams were playing, that's when you started seeing like Fox Sports and all these showing Libertadores here in the U.S.
Yeah.
And before that just wasn't there. So I mean, now you have another market of two markets, which is Mex and the U.S. So more money from sponsorships, more TV, more. It's just way more money coming in when Mex is when Mex is there. So they want Mex, but it was I don't know, man. I know it's had to do with TV, and there's other
stuff.
It's just
how they split the profits. That's all it is. It's just like, yo, we are the big draw. Everybody in, like, you know, like when we play, everybody tunes in. The TV ratings are higher. Like, we generate you guys so much money. So we need like 50%, or, you know what I mean? I don't know what the actual numbers are, but, you know, Mexico is asking for a lot of money. They probably won't agree or negotiate that way. So that's probably why we haven't been invited ever since. But my question is, like, since we don't have that exposure anymore, is it true now that, you know, because I keep hearing this about the MLS, that it's easier to get exported to Europe because of the MLS, because it's easier for people to view those games in Europe?
Nah.
And it's like, you know, there has been a pretty good track record now as of late for MLS exporting players to Europe. So do you think that's why players like Pizarro and you know, other players that have joined the league from Liga MX, or you think it's true that it's easier for them now to get a deal to go to Europe?
Nah, I don't buy it, dude. I don't.
You don't buy it?
Nah, it's not like an agent is going to be watching MLS at 3 in the morning. You know, that's not how it works.
Mm.
It's if they know of a player, they might contact a scout friend that they have, you know, because, and then clubs have scouts spread throughout, you know, covering the different regions. So they could just send someone to the league to watch the player. And that's kind of how it's happened. When you see, like, for example, when Rafa Marquez was scouted by Monaco,
uh-huh.
Not scouted, when they bought him.
Yeah.
They were actually scouting a Chilean player during the Copa America, and he saw Marquez and he was like, "Oh, this is the dude."
Oh, really?
I think they ended up getting both players though. But
oh, okay.
He was like, "We need this dude. This guy is,
who the hell is this guy?
Is legit."
Yeah, who's this kid?
So that's how they do it a lot of times. It's not by TV, man. It's not like people are watching. It's not like they're gonna.
Well, I mean,
MLS is on prime time. It's probably like at
morning. They'll find a way, right? If a player's making noise, they'll find a way to get highlights. You know, it's not like you got to upload them to YouTube anymore. Like, you know, it's accessible in some way. But I'm just saying that it's a little bit more easier because MLS has that TV deal. They sell it as a collective bundle, and I agree with you that Liga MX needs to work on doing something like that, since we don't have that exposure from Libertadores anymore.
Yeah, well, the Libertadores was like not just like an exposure, but also like more of a proving grounds, you know?
Yeah.
So they just, for whatever reason, they just, not whatever reason, because there are some really good teams, but as Liga MX has shown, not a lot of those teams aren't that, you know, because Liga MX will go in and whoop that ass with the majority of those teams. So you kind of see how it's like the league. I think the league does need to do better to be seen as more legit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they, you know, they were going into Libertadores and beating these teams from pretty much everywhere, man. You know, you say Brazil, Argentina, it doesn't matter. They were beating those top teams. But at the end of the day, they were still not seeing the league. They were still not giving it the credit it deserves.
There was Melvin Brown just recently spoke up, and, you know, he was saying, you know, Boca in the final, because we're coming up on the 20 years of that encounter where Cruz Azul made it all the way to the final, lost in penalties to Boca. But Melvin Brown said that, you know, they didn't go into, you know, to La Bombonera shook, man. They came in there, they knew that they were the better side. He said, "Hey, we knew we were the better side, Like, they were shook, man. Boca were shook. And Palencia scored. And he said that, like, they made, like, La Bombonera, like, dead silent. Like, the fans were nervous. Everybody was nervous. And then I was watching some clips of some of the highlights. And, like, there was, at one point, Cruz Azul hit the post. But everybody thought, like, that was it. You know, like, Cruz Azul were going to win the match. Unfortunately, they ended up losing in penalties. But, I mean, you know, the Mexican clubs are respected in South America, man. Like, people respect Chivas. Oh, yeah. People respect America. People respect Cruz Azul, man, because they've come in there and, you know, they've had some really good runs and beaten some respectable opponents, man, like River, Boca, Colo-Colo. I mean, we've even Brazilian teams, man. We've gone toe-to-toe with them.
Yeah, the Chivas team that beat
Santos?
Santos, and they had, like, an unbeaten record in their stadium of, like, 30 games or something. And then Chivas was playing a man down when they beat them.
Yeah.
It was Diego Martinez that scored the goal, man. He's in a breakaway. That was one of my favorite games that I remember. Like, that guy's, I was thinking Chivas was going to get whooped after they go a man down, and they pull out the massive win. So, yeah, we saw stuff like that. Although Chivas opening the kind of whoop ass on Boca at the Jalisco. That one was another one of my favorite memories.
So, kind of switching gears, I was at the game this weekend, last weekend with
the Clásico de Cali.
The California Classic. It was San Jose Earthquakes hosting LA Galaxy. It was the first match of the season that San Jose had full capacity. All the fans were there. A lot of Chivas jerseys. And a lot of jerseys that I thought were Chivas jerseys, but apparently it's just like a 4th of July like special edition jersey for all the MLS teams. So I was watching Trophies like warm up. And I'm like, oh shit, he put on his Chivas jersey, you know? And then I looked at the badge and it had the Earthquakes logo. And I'm like, oh, okay.
You know who would do that?
Who?
Abreu.
Oh, really?
He would wear some Uruguay. I forgot which team from Uruguay.
Oh, okay.
And he would wear the jersey under whatever jersey he was wearing.
He's like a double agent.
I don't know. It's a whole thing about repping.
So, yeah, you know, I was on the sidelines behind the goal. I got to see Javier Hernandez play like front and center, and he scored two goals in that game. Galaxy ended up winning like 3-1. It was pretty embarrassing, to be honest. You know, to be a San Jose fan, I feel so bad for the franchise, because you know the team doesn't spend money, and they get shown up in their own home, and even like the LA Galaxy fans that traveled on bus like were louder than the SJ Ultras. It was kind of bad. It was brutal to watch. I will say, though, you know, seeing Javier Hernandez live and in person and like 3 feet away from him, man, like, you know, you talk about movement, like that first goal he scored, like I blinked and like the ball was in the back of the net. Like, this guy is fast, and it doesn't help that the MLS doesn't have like the best record for defending. Like, they have really bad defending, but yeah, that boy, he knows how to get free. He knows how to score in the box. Like, his both goals were inside the box, and he had a really, really good game, now leading the league in goals with 10. And he is not going to go to Copa Oro. He's not going to go to the Olympics. And even with Mexico's setbacks, with Pulido being injured, all these injuries, Macias being injured, apparently, even if they were to swallow up their pride and eat crow and ask for his return, apparently he would not go.
Man, the beef is so. I mean, he wouldn't go now, right? Like, he would have been open before, but now it's sort of like, well, screw you, type of thing. or was it? I wasn't gonna go regardless.
I don't know, man. That's the thing, because Mexico has, I believe, until like the 30th of this month, or sorry, not even. they have until like a couple of days before the Gold Cup kicks off to like submit their final roster in case of like an injury. They can immediately like replace a player, but I don't know what's going on. The drama between, you know, Javier Hernandez and the national team. I don't know if it's his beef with Tata. I don't know if it's the beef with the whole federation because of, you know, the pachanga and having parties and, you know, being kind of like a bad boy or just a locker room problem. I don't know what the beef is, but he's in a really good spell with LA Galaxy. I would not be surprised if they asked him not to go, because they did the same thing with Carlos Vela like a year ago when he was on that really good tear and LA Galaxy were like on, you know, they were going for the title run, or sorry, LAFC.
Yeah.
And like, I remember watching on ESPN Plus, they had like that like docuseries about LAFC, and Bob Bradley like is like, hey man, like don't go to like, don't go to the national team. Like, we need you here. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, you're on a good run with your team. You know, Mexico kind of like gave you like the middle finger. So, you know, you kind of give it back. But I mean, in the end, the one who loses is us, you know, the national team, the fans, because we need goals and he's the guy. He's the top goal scorer of all time. And you're not going to take him over some, like, I don't know, pissing contest. Like, I just, it doesn't make sense.
Well, you did mention it. He's only been on one Gold Cup. Maybe he's not meant to play them.
Yeah, I guess it's just not meant to be, but the thing about it is, like, Tata's on the hot seat. You know, we lost the Nations League, you know, and...
Oh, but there's a final. Would you really put him on the hot seat?
Well, I'm just saying, like, if Mexico end up crashing early in this Gold Cup, like, that could be labeled as a fracaso, and that could be labeled as, like, a crisis, and, you know, they might even go for his head at that point, because you cannot lose this Gold Cup. You have to win this. You have to redeem yourself from the Nations League. You cannot let the United States beat you again. You don't want to set that tone going into the World Cup qualifiers.
He won't get sacked, dude. I could see him. I could see, even if he, I don't think it will happen, but I still think he's going to make it at least to the finales, be it final or semi. But even if the team were to crash, I don't see the FMF sacking him.
Well, with the pressure of the fans and the media, because the media is brutal, man. They can turn on him at any given time. So I could see the pressure mounting, you know, and then you get off to a terrible start in the World Cup qualifiers because you're not going to have any fans in your stadium. So you're not even going to have a home field advantage. So you're going to be even under a bigger microscope if anything goes wrong. Any sniff, like any sign of like, oh no, like, you know, this is going to be a disaster. They will pull the plug, because we saw what happened with Chepo. We've seen what happened when they were struggling to qualify for the World Cup. You do not want to have that happen.
Yeah, and I see that's where I see it going. I do think it would they will give him like the start of the hexagonal, and then he would have to like crash really bad there. But I just don't see it. I don't see it as strong. You know, it hasn't been for a while. I don't feel like I've seen other World Cup qualifiers, other hexagonals where I was like, damn, these teams are pretty good.
Yeah. I know it's not like the strongest, but still, Mexico always finds a way to like disappoint us. You know what I mean?
Because our expectations are always, they're not always congruent with the reality of things.
Yeah.
You know, we seem to want the whole caminando every 4 years. We want to qualify walking. I don't think it's going to go as bad as it seems it might be.
I hope so. You know, it's just right now we don't have any strikers. We had to call upon a player that's not even born in Mexico, who hasn't scored since May or April, actually. And it's just like, come on, man. You have this guy right here. He's scoring goals. He knows how to score goals. He's done it 52 times. This is your guy. This is the guy that needs to be playing in the Gold Cup. extending his record and carrying Mexico to a final against the United States. That's all I'm saying is, like, you want to take your best players, you want to take the players that are in form, that are hot, and to snub somebody just because of whatever past, I just don't agree with it.
Well, I mean, this is the thing with the coaching, because what you have a lot of times is players that can be very influential, and then they'll take control of the locker room. And then they could really sabotage, you know, they could really, like, hurt, or they end up having more say as far as, like, who gets called up and all that, you know?
I see.
Some politics stuff. So I don't know if that's what Chicharo was doing. You know, we do remember the whole World Cup thing where he was trying to get, well, the story is he was trying to get a group of players to revolt during the World Cup so they could get more money.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned in the last pod, and he's the black sheep right now, the ugly duckling.
Yeah, it's, but you know, we have I don't know if you remember when Hugo Sanchez became the coach and Rafa Marquez was one of the bigger known players.
Really?
And he was talking shit. I mean, he said in one interview early on, oh yeah, we don't know what we're playing, you know, with under Hugo. We don't have an idea of what he wants us to do.
Oh wow.
And that's like, that's some fucked up shit to say, man. This dude, the process just started, you know, and he's saying that, and that's like I don't think Hugo took the bait, you know, because imagine what it would have cost if Hugo would have gone into the war with Marquez, and then at that point Marquez had just massive influence over mm-hmm. a big group of players. Mm-hmm. Especially you had all these players that were, like, you know, from his time in Atlas and whatnot. And he was just highly regarded because of everything he was doing with Barcelona. He was, like, you know. So, I mean, damn, that's sometimes where you want to avoid stuff like that.
I get it. We'll have to see how this plays out. We have two selecciones, and it's going to be kind of confusing because the senior side is in LA right now, getting ready. But then the Olympic team that's going to be going to Japan is in Nashville. So they have a game against Panama in Nashville on the 30th. And I guess they have an agreement that I guess Tata Martino has to coach that team in Nashville. Even though it's Jimmy Lozano's team, he has to be present. I guess that's part of his contract with some or whatever agreement that they made. So he has to fly to Nashville and, like, quote unquote, coach this, like, Olympic team that he's had he hasn't been part of the process. And then he has to fly back to LA for the Nigeria game on Saturday. It's crazy.
Well, actually, there's been talk that he has, like, that he has had input on the under 23.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and this goes way back maybe a year, like 2 years maybe, about him having massive input. The only thing that is he didn't want to coach it, but that he did have, like, a big say on it. So that might be part of it, you know? Right, he's there.
I see. Yeah, so Mexico will play two last games. Nashville, Tennessee against Panama. And that team will then be going to the Olympics. And then the senior side will play against Nigeria on Saturday the 3rd. LA Coliseum, we will be there. And that will be with the older guys. I guess Funes Mori will be making his debut since we don't have any other strikers. Speaking about strikers. Oh, actually, one last thing about my experience with the San Jose Earthquakes on Saturday. Towards the end of the match, specifically the 87th minute, I heard something. Something that I heard in Denver, something that I heard a few times before, and actually I have a sound clip. So, in an MLS match in San Jose, I heard the puto chant. And what does that mean? Because has nothing to do with Mexico. This is the MLS. These are American clubs. But I hear the chant. So where's the investigation, FIFA? Where's going to be the punishment for the men's national team? I want to see some skulls be cracked, man. I want to see them really, really take this serious, because that is unacceptable.
Yeah, well, I mean, the only thing is, it's, you know, like a FIFA event. So if it was done during like a club's World Cup or something like that, but this is not a FIFA event. So I guess that's the excuse that we're going to get. That's up to MLS to address, of like, you know, what's going on there.
I just think it's interesting because it's such a weird, like, situation, right? Because a lot of these people that came to the match, they're not San Jose fans. They're Mexican. They're Chivas fans. They're, you know, they root for the Mexican national team. They just happen to want to see Chicharito play. Jonathan Dos Santos, Efraín Álvarez, Chofis López, Carlos Fierro, Alanis. Like, a lot of these...
Damn, that's...
There's a lot of these...
All those players in the...
Yeah. A lot of these fans are just there to see, you know, players that used to play for Chivas or just players that used to play for Mexico. Like, they're not San Jose fans. So, you know, like, the puto chant was, like, kind of like, I'm not surprised that I heard it, but it is an MLS match. And, you know, Mexico's getting sort of scolded for doing it so often that, I don't know, man. Like, if FIFA were to look into this, they would have to discipline the U.S. team, right? It wouldn't have anything to do with Mexico.
No, not the U.S. team, because the U.S. team is not involved.
But it's MLS, though, right?
Yeah, well, maybe the league, but it's basically, yeah, it's sort of like saying that you're kind of saying, like, should the selection be punished because in a Chivas game, people only,
oh, I see.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you would punish
the club.
But I don't know. I mean, if it was done once, the league is probably just gonna ignore it.
Yeah.
It is like an issue that's like very like sensitive, because I bet the league doesn't even know how to address it. Where they can't straight out say what you just said.
Yeah.
Like, these are San Jose fans. These are Mexicans that came here, you know?
Yeah.
And people could turn that on them and say, well, what are you saying about Mexicans? Or how do you know that they're Mexicans?
Yeah, exactly.
So they can't even say that. And so it's
they can't even make those accusations. Like, but I know the truth.
Yeah.
I was there. You know, I've seen most of the crowd. I know
I
who
can
did
smell
it.
Smell my own.
I just think it's interesting. It's like a weird situation to be in, you know what I mean? Because it's like, oh, that's just like another day in Mexico. Like, that chant just keeps... all I know is I'm concerned, you know, for these upcoming friendlies against Panama, against Nigeria. We'll have to see, like, what happens, you know? Are the fans going to continue to violate? I don't know, man. I don't know what to expect.
I think FMF just needs to put themselves at the victim's seat. They gotta do something, you know, like NFL made that video, and football's gay, or what they called it. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I didn't see it, but, you know, I did hear about the player that came out, and, you know, they're like...
No, there's like a video going around that the NFL did, and it's like NFL or football's gay, And so just do something the same.
I see.
You know, do the FMF is gay, or
put the rainbow flag on the gay.
Yeah. Yeah, on the school.
On the school.
And then when people are yelling it, it's like they're making fun of us, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna punish because they're abusing us now.
Yeah.
And then that it'll go away, dude. No one's gonna wanna touch that. No one's gonna be like, oops. And you know, I'm surprised how this happened. Because you know, it's like the Euro, right?
Uh-huh.
Going on, and they said they didn't want the what was it, the rainbow captain armband, or what was it? And then it's like, I thought it was gonna be this big issue, and I was like, okay, good, take some of this, take some of the spotlight away from X, and then it just kind of went away.
Yeah.
I was like, what? So yeah, man, I think with Max it's
weird, man. I just want consistency. That's all I'm asking for. You know, if you're gonna make us a scapegoat and blame it all on Max, I wanna see that same level of dedication across the board, not just in CONCACAF, but you know, like in UEFA. Like, how ridiculous is that they didn't want to like be political and they asked Germany not to show pride? Like, come on, man. It's really not that big of a deal. You guys are kind of like,
yeah,
suppressing that in a way by not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see how they it's, I do think to an extent, FMF has to stand up for themselves, because it's not like they haven't shown that they don't care. They've been doing a lot to counter that. So it's just, you know, for FIFA's at this point, I do feel like FIFA's just using Max as an example to take away from what's, you know, the whole Qatar issue.
Yeah.
Because that's, and yeah, you know, the whole, and it's same with, I see it with a lot of the Liga MX English family, they ignore Qatar too. You know, it's like they'll say, oh yeah, the rights, and then, but then they want to go to Qatar, so then they just ignore it, because then they'll be like, oh, you know, we're not going to attack FIFA, because then they might strip us of press passes or whatnot.
So everyone's just turning a blind eye, you know?
Yeah, they're going to turn a blind eye. So it's a lot of hypocrisy going on, you know? So it's, you
absolutely
see it in our community too, man. Because I see the tweets, and I was like, well, how come you're not saying shit about this? It's worse, you know? And it's like, you know, for it's becomes obvious why.
We'll have to see what happens in these upcoming friendlies, but my money is that I'm probably going to hear the chant at least one more time. Like, I'm pretty sure it's going to, you know, especially if, like, Mexico, you know, aren't playing well, it might spill out against Panama, it might spill out against Nigeria, or both games. We'll have to wait and see. But kind of going back to the experimenting on strikers, Chivas are experimenting with Chicote Calderón as the number 9. He's been playing as striker in these sort of like friendly matches that they've been doing, and he's been scoring goals. How crazy is that?
Not that crazy. A lot of these guys play more than one position. You know, you saw Campos, he used to play a striker, and he did it pretty good.
He would score goals.
So yeah, you'd be surprised, man. I don't know if you've seen games where they don't have any more cambios and the goalie gets injured.
Uh-huh.
And then you see one of the players just put on the gloves.
Yep.
And you think they're gonna be clueless, but they're doing pretty good, man. And that's just the thing. A lot of these guys have some experience with playing in other spots.
Man, you rarely see that in football anymore, but I remember like a few times growing up as a kid, I think like an Atlas game one time where they were out of substitutions and the goalkeeper like got a red card for a PK or whatever, and then one of the players had to suit up and put on the gloves, and I'm just like, this is crazy! Like, this is so amazing! Like, if I was the other team, I would just test the waters, just shoot everything, just make them feel uncomfortable. But for me, like the reason that this is for me kind of crazy about Chicote is like, number one, it shows that we don't have any money because like we don't have money for another striker, man. We're over here moving Chicote from defender to striker. Like, come on, man. Like, what other team does that?
I don't think it's so much the money. It's the whole, the league's not buying. And then they're not selling. And when I mean Mexican players, they're not buying or selling Mexican players. And that's obviously going to hurt Chivas, man, because there's just less to pick from. And we forgot to mention this one thing, because you were there at San Jose. Chofis didn't score, but he did give an assist. And it was the 17-year-old Cowell that scored the
Cade Cow,
the lone goal. And he's half Mexi. And
yes, sir.
I don't know. If you're Chivas, you have to be like, you have to have your claws everywhere. Because you need all the help you can get, so I don't know.
Not even just for Chivas, but if you're in the Mexican national team, man, I would wrap that up. Yeah, what? He's half Mexican? Boom. I would start scouting him. I would start recruiting him because he is really talented, man. I saw his debut.
Well, just really quick, Jaime, because we talked about him a while back.
Uh-huh.
When we found out, and now you've seen him. You saw him from pretty close. I mean, you got to see what he's all about.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw his debut U.S. Open Cup against Czech Republic, and I was like, who the hell is this kid? He was like 15, 16 at the time. But now he's like a lot bigger. He's older, and he's like the only redeeming like player from San Jose, man. Like everybody else is just has been or old or just...
Even trophies, dude.
Come on, man. We got Wondolowski, who's like a legend, but that poor guy, they won't let him retire because they don't have anybody else, and picking up a bunch of sloppy seconds from Chivas, including the coach. It's like, come on, bro. And he's the only guy that brings like fresh air and breath and excitement and joy to this club. And I, if he happens to be Mexican, I would be all over that, I would be all over that.
His mom, right? His mom.
And, because we're like, Chivas are rumored to get like freaking Efraín Álvarez from LA Galaxy. Kind of like Antuna 2.0, it's just, come on, man.
Hey, Antuna got called up to the national team and he's been.
Thank God he's worked out, but you know what I mean? It's like.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why, but Chivas really has the whole league going into maximum overdrive with extranjeros. It really hurt Chivas. It's looking like the cantera, man. They're gonna have to bet on the cantera. It doesn't seem like they were able to get the players they wanted, which was
I know.
What was this guy's name?
They had Eric Aguirre from Pachuca.
Araujo.
Araujo. Néstor Araujo, Lalo Aguirre from Santos. Yeah, there's a few rumors, but nothing came to fruition.
The first two, I would have been happy with the first two. Then I heard that Araujo might be going to Monterrey. Which I was like, okay, if he does go, maybe.
Héctor Moreno is Rayados now.
Oh, man, yeah, and they got this Colombian guy that's supposed to be pretty good. And, man, Monterrey's stacking up. And then you got Tigres with their two French internationals, man. Then we see Chivas and they're converting defenders to attackers. I see you're paying, Jaime.
Yeah. I've never seen that ever done before. Like, I've seen players transition from like wing back, like right or left back, to like winger, like Gareth Bale. I've seen that before. But I've never seen like a defender go straight to like striker. Like that's bananas. I know like Sergio Ramos has enough goals as center back to almost merit the striker spot.
Yeah.
But that's in like late, when you throw all the carne al asador and stuff. But, to actually like make that transition to striker, I think it's exciting. And I think it would work out for Chivas because he's already scored goals. He's already scored some really good goals, in the Liga against America. He scored three of them. And I could see him making that transition. Because, I mean, to be honest, his defensive duties weren't that good. They were always overlooked by his speed and his ability to just be offensive. So I'm excited. You know, if we are going to let Macias go, that only leaves us with Saldívar and Oribe Peralta. So to throw in Chicote in the mix, that would be kind of exciting just to for shits and giggles.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you know, I think it's probably a thing where he would, when they do intramurals, interescuadras, or when they do, you know, he would probably play in some of the games and score. You know, so I don't think it was just random. I was like, okay, you know, like they put an obstacle course. Or they drew names, or you know.
Yeah.
I do think it's something they had already observed. They knew about him, and then they were like, you know, the necessity now. So it's like, and then this sucks too, man. It sucks for my boy, Midas, man, because he hasn't had any refuerzos, and I know the fans hate him, and it's like, man, they brought this dude and
no tools.
You know, no tools, man. They're just,
it's like, yeah, we hired a contractor, but no lumber, no hammer, no drill, no saw. It's like, how do you expect me to build anything? I got nothing.
They want him to turn off a fire with a wet brick. You know, it's going to be tough. It's not going to look pretty. So, ouch. I don't know. I don't know, man. I think that they kept the core of the group there. And like I said, last season, they were only 2 games, 6 points from possibly third place. So I think it could go either way. I would say they could go either way again. They could crash, or they could qualify in a good position. Crazy, the Liga.
Yeah, I think what we're starting to see, and this is just across the board with like the Euros, Copa America, Copa Oro, Olympics, is you know, because of like COVID, and because of like the weird, you know, last year, like I don't think players are so used to like playing that much games anymore. Like they had such a long, like this has been a really, really long season, and you're starting to see a lot of injuries, not just in Mexico. This is happening across the board in Europe, in the Euros. A lot of players are getting injured. So it's just like kind of that adjustment. So it's a long season. I feel bad for some of the players. They're not going to have any vacation time. I think Orbelín Pineda has like had a week off, you know? So it's like, it's just go time. So it's going to be a draining summer. We'll have to see what happens with Mexico and the Copa Oro, hopefully.
Is Jaime, I have to ask you, is Oribe still with Chivas?
Oribe is still with Chivas, man.
Like, what kind of contract is just, this guy?
Just stealing money, man. He's literally rolling. Legally stealing money from Chivas.
America's paying him, not Chivas.
I know. There's got to be some part of that Chivas is paying.
America pays the bulk of it. That is, damn. That, well, I mean, if he's still there, I still like the guy, man.
How is it that
I feel bad that he can't score?
Hey, tell me if this makes sense. How is it that like it's free, right? We didn't pay any transfer fee, and they're paying his salary. But how does it feel that we're still getting ripped off, man? It's like I just feel like we got like the bad end of the deal. I don't know why, you know, because we're not like, you know, it's like when you go and you're driving your neighborhood and there's like a free couch. You pick it up, you put it in the back of your car, and you're like, all right, cool. It's like, but you kind of still feel like, what's wrong with it? You know, I feel like I got.
He had bed bugs. He had bed bugs when he had to fumigate the whole house. It cost you more money than if you would have just bought a couch.
Like, you have to like spend money to reupholster it and stuff. You're like, man, this is starting to burn a hole in my pocket. And this was free.
Yeah. Because he was damaged goods. America knew he was damaged goods. And they were just trying to get rid of him. And he didn't just want to go anywhere, you know. He has that fighting spirit. And the thing with what's his name? damn, what's his name? Higuera. So Higuera needed, you know, he needed a main player. Chivas had none. They had gotten rid of all the stars, and they, you know, he just needed, he needed like a star player, and that's who he could get. So he took a gamble. He took the gamble, and it failed, man. I mean, he took the gamble with Pulido. I mean, we've talked about how much of a gamble that was.
That was a big gamble.
A guy with only 14 games in 2 years, and he paid close to $20 million. That's a hell of a gamble. He ended up, you know, being key for Doblete and whatnot. And so I think he was probably hopeful, like, maybe not to that extent, but if he could do half of that, it would have been good. But, man, I feel like...
He's got, maybe a goal or two registered under his name.
Maybe if J.J. Mack is gone, he could shoot the penalties now and he can get, like, 5 goals.
He's only scored like 1 goal since his arrival. It's bad.
Has he like one? I thought he was at zero.
Yeah, he scored one.
Vistoso or was it?
Yeah, he scored 1 goal. I think in the Copa MX against Correcaminos.
Ah, there you go. Nah, so he doesn't in league is where he's at zero.
January 2020. He scored his first league goal against San Luis. So,
oh, okay, so he does have a league goal.
He does have a league goal, yeah.
January.
I remember he had scored one last season and it got it called off or something. I was like, oh, it's finally happening. He was like, oh no, they took it away from him.
Man, well, if he's still there, man, I hope he's managed to finally recover. I don't know what exactly is his injury, but man,
we might as well put a traffic cone on the pitch. Like at that, like it's just as effective as him, man. So yeah, that is episode 291 of Cantina MX Football Podcast. Joel, do we have any closing thoughts before we wrap it up?
Damn, let me see. Feel like we're forgetting something.
It does feel that way. I can't think of anything.
I read briefly from, I read it on Twitter, but it was brief, how FIFA might take away the World Cup games from Mexico.
Oh, I think if they continue to, you know, fail as far as the chant goes and controlling the fans, they can potentially remove them from hosting the World Cup. Host. And
that's the long-term punishment.
And I'm just like, you know what? Do it. Fucking do it. Cause you only gave us like a handful of games. Right. And
it's like eight
games and none of them are going to be in the final. You know what? USA is our second home anyways. Fucking take them away. I don't care.
But, I mean, that's you, Jaime. But if you're a stadium in Mex, you want that you know, that badge. You want to unlock that achievement. Hosted a World Cup game, dude. So you say, who cares? But, you know, the Monterrey New Stadium or the Omni Life or whoever gets it, they want to. And they'll have that plaque, you know, like this game was played here. Huh. Or so and so, you
Azteca
know,
would have like, its third, know,
the next
third and the next only
or whatever could have scored there, and it'll be, you know, because like Jalisco, you know, they were proud that they had that 70 iconic, you know, legendary Brazilian team.
Yeah.
So
all I'm saying is like Mexico has enough merit to host their own World Cup. The fact that they, you know, did this joint venture with Canada and USA is kind of like a ripoff. You know, they have.
I think to the stadiums, Jaime, it was because FIFA said that the stadiums that were going to host the World Cup need to meet certain qualifications. They need to be like X amount of people and all of that. So they would have to build a bunch of stadiums. So there's new stadiums, but they're small. Like you know, they're not the World Cup. They're not the World Cup capacity.
What, you're telling me they can't host a final in the Kraken of Mazatlan?
Yeah, no. Or not even a final, like a group.
Yeah. I think minimum's like 30 or 40 for a group game, 60 for knockout, and then 80 for final. I think that's
So we saw what happened at Brazil, you know, where they built all these, and you know, Brazil, big league, you know, they got, their league is split in two, you know, the Paulista and the, what's the other one called? The Carioca, I think, and the Paulista, and then they have the state championship. And, but you know, there's just a massive amount of teams all over Brazil, and they built a bunch of new stadiums just for the World Cup, to the point where they weren't needed. Some of them were being used
for that tournament.
Bus depot. Yeah, no, but they're like abandoned now. And some of them, like, they were parking buses. Another one had like squatters. Another one, I think they were rented out. One, they couldn't even rent it out. They were trying to rent it for like concerts. And it was like more expensive than going to some of the venues that were already there.
Like the one that's in the jungle that is like been abandoned now.
It's gonna in the future, it's gonna be like a fighting pit, dude. It's gonna after the apocalypse, dude. Years from now, they're gonna be like,
Mexico could have done it though. Mexico could have done it, man. Because I mean, they were working.
But, I mean, built a bunch of stadiums that were not gonna get.
No, used. not build, but what do they call that? Like when they like take a stadium that's already there and they kind of like. What's the word?
That costs a lot of money.
Yeah, but they could have done it.
Yeah, but look at Jalisco. No one's gonna upgrade that.
Jalisco could have gotten an upgrade, a facelift. Azteca did already. You have Monterrey Stadium. You have Chivas Stadium.
Jalisco doesn't belong to a club.
I know.
So I mean, why would they do it? Do you know what I mean?
World Cup.
It's. Yeah, but then it's like.
Then you have like.
You might only have two or three games, and that's the thing. Is it worth, like, you know, someone's going to front all that money. So it's to the point where it's like, no one's, unless you have a club where you're going to play week in, week out.
They could have done it, man. I'm confident. Mexico's already hosted, like, a bunch of, like, under, you know, like, youth tournaments in that time span too.
But you know? And you know, I'm gonna say it, if anything, Jalisco needs to be like maybe shrunken down and it's made it smaller, you know.
Oh, now that Chivas aren't there?
well, because maintenance cost, you know. And so the bigger the stadium, the more big reason they did it with Azteca, and they've done it with other stadiums. I mean the Maracana, I mean, what was it, like $2,000?
And 200.
They kept shrinking it because
yeah
they had to keep shrinking it because, man, imagine just to clean it, what would it cost? and it's, you have to clean it all the time, not just after a match, you know, so it won't deteriorate. So I mean, man, just that bill must have been hella expensive. So those are the things where it's like, okay, expand Jalisco or modernizing it, and then won't be able to get a lot of that money back for a long time because it's crazy with the tickets.
Monterrey has money though.
But they already did it. Like Monterrey did their stadium and Tigres might be doing, but I mean that's still only a handful of stadiums, you know.
How many stadiums do you need for the World Cup? You probably need like what, like 10 to 12 maybe?
Yeah, and so Mexico's like at half of that.
All I know is Cruz Azul need a stadium. So, I mean, they're going to get one eventually. What else? I mean, there's a few stadiums that could like, Niesmo 10, you know? Toluca, they already did their stadium. You know, I think they could have pulled it off. But, you know, if FIFA's going to be, like...
Well, you know, they can't host the World Cup. What they can't do is meet the FIFA standards, they're the ripoff, you know. It's a bit of a ripoff because then it's like you have to think, okay, well, if they're built, you know, that's contracts that are going to be made to build stadiums and to build all this other stuff, you know. And so then you got to wonder what companies are going to get those contracts. it's the business there, man. It's
a lot of politics.
Chatui, man. It is, dude. It is. You know, who's going to provide the cement and all that? And so, you know, it's no, you know, because they're going to build this. And so it is. It is with the whole thing where it's like, that's why. OK, so how do we, you know, how do we sell more of this stuff? Well, make them have a new stadium. You know, that way they have to build it, and then you have to get an architect firm to design it and all that. So I do think it's connected.
It's time, man. Like, look at Bumasa Stadium. Man, that place is a shithole, man. I mean, no disrespect, but, man, that stadium is just like, you got the track around the field. Like, come on, dog. Like,
yeah, well, because it was built for the Olympics.
Yeah, it's like, Bumas deserve something better than that. Playing in the freaking noon on Sundays in the sun, no shade. Like, man, that is just brutal. I feel so bad for them.
That's not their stadium, though. It's the university.
The university.
Stadium. So they don't have their stadium. So they have to, you know, they're what the university
it's like
grants them.
Unexcusable. I mean, sure, like the Mexico City, man, like so, like one of the most populated, you know, cities in the world. Unexcusable that they only have like one stadium. Like, that place should have like four or five stadiums. You look at like,
well, I mean, there's the Universidad. Well, there's three of the bigger stadiums. You know, the Azteca, the where Cruz Azul used to play. I forgot what it's called. They keep changing the name.
Estadio Azul.
The Estadio Azul, and then the Olímpico Universitario.
That's it?
But yeah, you're right. I do think they should have been more.
Dude, they need to go to Argentina just once and see how those, like, they have a stadium next to a stadium. Like, that's how intense it is out there. It's like
a stadium. Yeah. Well, the Azul was next to a bullfighting. So that's,
yeah,
that's not that bad.
Yeah.
A bullfighting stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, no, I do. Mexico could easily organize the World Cup. What they can't do is meet all those stadium qualifications that FIFA imposed for obvious, you know, just to get all these countries that are going to host to start building a bunch of shit that they're not going to need. And that's, you know, I think that's where the part of the business lies.
There's even a state, like the nicest stadium in the second division, Zacatepec. They have a really nice stadium. That should be a first division like stadium. That is really nice.
Yeah.
So yeah. Want to appreciate everyone for their ongoing support on Cantina MX. I photoshopped that photo earlier, the thumbnail of this episode. A lot of people didn't like it. They didn't understand it. Sometimes you make things and it's just a troll or just
the one with Tata as a clown.
Yeah. I posted it on the subreddit and Mary was like, I don't understand what this means. And I just got so entertained from all the comments of people trying to interpret it when there's literally like no meaning. It's just me.
It was no meaning.
It was just me having fun on MS Paint, you know, just, I just think it's ironic that, like, you know, you have this crisis with no strikers. You have this guy who's scoring 10 goals in the MLS. He's the perfect guy for the job. And, you know, your pride or your prejudice gets in the way of him meriting a call up, you know? So that was my inspiration. And then just putting a clown wig on Tata for being a clown and Chicharito crying. So I don't know. I just, it all kind of meshed together. But sometimes, you know, like when it comes to like modern art or whatever, like you go to these modern art exhibits and there sometimes like the artist just makes it just to get a reaction out of people, but there's no deeper meaning. It's like, it's just, that is the meaning, is like to upset people or to, you know, that's just what the whole point of the piece was. And that was my intention with this.
Nah, well, all I'm going to say is that keep in mind what you're saying, Jaime. Keep in mind like your thoughts on this. Because like in maybe 5 years, we're going to get the behind the music. And we're going to
hope so.
A lot of the reasons. And then you'll be like, oh, snap, I was right. Or I was way off.
Yeah.
I was way off.
That stuff doesn't really spill years later, though, right? Like,
does not does it does dude it does and you like, see the Hugo Sanchez with the World Cup 94 when they so there was the whole thing, I don't know if you remember, so the World Cup 94, Mexico versus Bulgaria, and I think Mexico was winning 1-0, and then Bulgaria goes down a man. I don't know when they went down a man, I don't know if Mexico was winning or the game was tied. I can't remember because this was 94.
Let's see.
On the top of my head.
Risto scored the first goal 6 minutes in, and then Aspe scored a penalty to tie the game in the 18th minute.
Okay, I was off. But then they had a red card, I think, in the second half.
Luis Garcia, red card, 58 minute.
No. Before Luis Garcia.
Oh.
Bulgaria goes down a man first.
Oh, Emil, 50th minute, yep.
50th minute. So after he went, see, my memory was off, but I do remember that. So he goes off, I believe. They go down a man, game is tied. And I think you see, because he hadn't done any cambios, Miguel Mejia Barón, who was the coach. And then you see the team start warming up. And Hugo Sanchez was warming up. And you did see, like, Stoichkov say later how when his squad saw Hugo, that they got scared, that he had to calm them down. Like, hey, chillax, dude. Chillax, he's, you know, we got this. And so you kind of see what impact it would have had he gone in. But he ends up not going in. He sits down. And
wow.
People claim that Televisa made the call to say, like, don't put him in.
What?
But then that was like the rumor, you know, because
crazy.
Hugo around that time he tried to organize a players union. So they were saying that they punished him. That was one of the like the rumors, you know, you always hear the rumors. But Hugo ended up talking about it and also Mejia Barón, and so basically Mejia Barón wanted Hugo to play Benjamín Galindo's spot, so he was going to sub out Galindo and then put him in, and Hugo was like, "Nah, I don't want to play there." So then he just decided not to.
Wow.
But see, they did talk about it, and that must have been like 10, 15, maybe 20 years later. But eventually they talked about it, whether it's true or not. But they said they talked about it, and so you will hear about this, Jaime. Might be 10 years from now. Put it on your list.
I need answers.
I still got stuff that I've been patiently waiting.
It's like what's that thing with the government where like after a certain amount of years they have to release like the files? I think like after like 50 years or something. Like I think we're just now being able to look at all the JFK files, but you have to like wait a certain amount of years before.
Yeah,
you get
and
the truth.
You know, it's true, and it does happen like that. Where it gets to the point where it doesn't matter anymore or whatever reason was that they weren't saying it. But yeah, you do get the behind the music, man. You get the stories. So we'll find out eventually.
We'll find out eventually.
Eventually they'll both end up saying their version of it.
All right, well, thank you all for co-hosting tonight. Make sure to follow us on the Cantina MX handle on Twitter. We'll be there in LA for the friendly against Nigeria on Saturday the 3rd. Be there or be square. Hope everyone has a good night.